Episode 28. The werewolf makes a friend.
Friends.
I'd just been to a dinner with an exciting professor of neurobiology. It was not what you think. It was actually dinner at his home. He had been a fascinating older guy who was a fun human to be around. He had a vast knowledge of everything and an interest in all things. I actually quite liked him. He was a very closeted gay guy that I had met through a specific app that links men with the same passion in life. When connected with him, my first thought it would be just for a meal. Little did I know. His profile was very brief, with a nice picture of some person's beautiful back and the mention of how they are looking for hookups and maybe more. These guys are the ones that are usually doing this behind their wife and kids' backs and are just being banged or banging guys. They have not got the bottle to admit what they are. They live a lie. A man's man in the day and a gay when they want it that way. I don't like cowards, to be honest. Admit who you are and let the world deal with it. In fact, I like them less than I usually like people in general. If you live by a particular set of rules, stick to them. Oh, I'm not homophobic. It's just I don't like liars. I, for example, don't kill for any specific reason. It does not matter if you're a good or bad person in my eyes, but if you annoy me with some of your ridiculous life choices, I do enjoy killing you much more. He was a rarity because he invited me to his real home after communicating by messaging. This is strange for the incognito gay Grindr user, unless you are stupid. Usually it's often at a discreet venue away from home if you want some fun. Only fools let strangers into their homes, especially ones who could maybe ruin their lives if the truth got out. Also, there are many people out there who still hate homosexuals. Often these people are in denial and not dealing with the fact that they are gay themselves. They like to catfish people into meeting up. You must know this thing where they set up a bait profile and get genuine people to respond. When the poor person meets them, they tend to get beaten up and robbed, or worse. Those are the best evenings for me. 5 for the price of 1 deal. Somewhat like a takeaway lunch deal. Monosexual homophobes. I fucking hate them. They taste good though. I don't understand this looking at gay people as weak and pathetic. As the crazy character says in that film that I forgot the title of, "Only real men shag men." He's right. How tough is it to shag a soft-bodied woman? Real men shag men. I checked his address out the day before. I went and observed what was happening at the house. You know, my paranoia and interest were both spiked. There was no evidence of anyone sharing the home, and for St. Andrews, it was a lovely home. I saw the professor when he got home from work. He was in his early 50s and was actually super hot, in the Daniel Craig mode with a hint of academia, you know, cords and a cardigan. I was interested. I went around the following evening carrying a prospective bottle of wine. He met me at the door and I was surprised to see a genuine smile and a definite look of attraction when he greeted me. It soon became apparent that this guy was interested in getting to know me and not just fuck me, as was the usual routine at these things. I was shocked at myself because, for a moment, I was interested in getting to know him and not just eating him. As I came into the house, he invited me into the kitchen and the food smelled incredible. Especially so with my heightened senses. The pasta sauce he was stirring smelled delicious with hints of rosemary, smoked bacon and garlic. This guy could fucking cook. He was dressed in chinos and a blue Ralph Lauren shirt and had his hair trimmed and fingernails manicured. Over his left shoulder was a tea towel with sauce stains. He walked over to the hob and checked the pan that held his sauce. As he looked back, the lenses of his tortoise shell glasses were steamed up. He opened a cupboard by the cooker and took down a spaghetti jar. "I apologize," he said. "I didn't have time to make the pasta as well as the sauce." "Not a problem," I replied. "I'm used to pot noodles, to be honest." He had made a considerable effort. He opened the wine and poured it professionally into 2 tall wine glasses. He lifted one of them and passed it to me, smiling, and took a sip of his own. "What do you think?" he asked. He caught me off guard. I didn't know whether he meant the house, him, or the wine. "The house is amazing. You're incredibly attractive and charismatic, but you know that. If you mean the wine, it's excellent." I took another sip and made a real deal of running it around my mouth while maintaining eye contact. I think it is Chateau Bechevel, I said. He actually smiled and laughed, very impressed. What year? He smirked, taking a sip. I took another mouthful and looked up at the ceiling thoughtfully. I would say it's maybe 2007. No. This is slightly more bitter than that particular vintage. I would say it's 2006. He barked a quick laugh. Wow, that was amazing, he said. A buff wine buff, a rare and beautiful thing. He raised his glass and saluted me. Not really. I am buff, but not a wine buff. I smiled and looked down, feeling a little bashful in front of this man. I have to admit to you, I read the label before you poured it. I smiled and raised my glass to his. It's very nice, though. Thanks, and cheers. He smiled and laughed. I was impressed at that. Now I am impressed with your honesty. He sat at the dining room table and talked about things that I usually would not. I believe it's called small talk, and I typically hate it. I often will not take part in it and actively avoid it, but it was delightful here with this man. The food had been just right. He was just right. It was a shame about the smooth jazz as background music, but I started to feel attracted to this guy. Not sexually, but one of interest and admiration. I wanted to be like this guy. He was so cool. He told me all about his life from its beginning in Canada to how he ended up living and working in Scotland. I realised that he was sincere and was not doing the thing that most people do. He was not trying to impress me with his life. He was just talking about his experiences. He'd travelled the world and been at the forefront of his academic area for years. He loved his job, a rarity in this world, and admitted that he felt lonely as he'd always put his career first. He was open, and I liked it. He was interested, and I liked that too. This was great. I'd allowed myself to get drunk. We werewolves can do that if we wish. We can also make ourselves sober if we want to instantly. I usually do not let myself get inebriated. I believe that narcotics are a crutch for those who are self-medicating because of the misery of their sad lives. In this case, on this evening, the crutch was very pleasant. This gorgeous, attractive guy was wooing me, and I was comfy and enjoying it. Then it happened. He asked me about myself. And I started to tell him everything. My posset, who had been happily sat by the fire, raised his head and looked at me as I continued. I could feel the posset's confusion, and he stood and began to circle the room, pacing. He was feeling extremely uncomfortable, but I felt safe and that I could continue. I trusted this man. He was trustworthy. This beautiful man did nothing. He was just interested. Interested in me. And I was really interested in him. What the fuck are you doing, Will? Fenrir flung into my brain, his head cocked to one side, warning me not to tell the man anything more. I stopped my conversation and turned to console the posset by telling him that I was going to kill the man anyway, so what was the big deal? This seemed to mollify him and make him feel better, so he settled down with us like a giant lapdog on the rug in front of the fire once more. After dinner, we left the table and went and sat on the oversized Chesterfield leather couch in his beautiful front room. This guy had a fantastic sense of style. Yet another glass of wine was in our hands as we sat in front of the roaring fire. The sounds of smooth jazz were audible in the background. This evening would have been every mid-30s straight single woman's dream night. Probably any mid-30s straight woman's dream if she wanted to admit it. It really was like the end of a script to every mid-90s rom-com, and to be honest, I was being seduced. So, he said, smoothing down the front of his trousers with his right hand, tell me more about yourself. You seem different from most. What is it that defines you? So I told him my story. All of it. Even my life as a werewolf. I told him about my posset and my killing, and he just nodded and asked questions. He offered no judgment. He didn't seem to be questioning if what I was saying was the truth or not. He just listened and absorbed. It was amazing. I felt he was interested and he actually cared. At the end of my lengthy monologue, I felt relieved. He sighed and put his wine glass on the table. Well, Will, that is a very exciting life you have led there. Most people would be scared by what you said, but I can tell you believe what you say is the truth. Have you ever shared this story with another? No, I never have. Well, I have, but I've never let them live. I laughed and smiled, raising my glass to him. I saw it then. A slight hesitation in his eyes became a little fearful for the first time. I sensed his heart rate rise and could tell by his scent that he was now actually slightly nervous. Don't feel threatened, I said, trying to calm the situation. I am having a fantastic night and really like you. I don't want to hurt you, I promise. Posit lifted his head at these words and looked at me. In my mind, the question formed from him. Really? In my head, I answered back. Oh, of course not, Posit. Fenn looked me up and down for a few moments and then dropped his head back down onto his paws and his eyes slowly closed. I sensed he was perturbed but accepted my explanation. Ian, I know what I have said is hard to believe, but would you be interested in seeing something? He nodded silently. So I started to draw my Posit into me. I changed my hand and arm to my wear form. I kept my eyes on Ian's face as I did so. It was interesting to see his emotions as I actually transformed. At first he looked shocked. Then he started to show genuine interest in what was happening. He reached for his glasses from the coffee table, put them on and moved closer. He looked at me, then his arm reached out towards mine. He hesitated to ask me without words, just by motioning towards the newly transformed part, if he could have a closer look. I nodded and lifted my limb so he could inspect it in detail.
Okay, that is real, he said. I don't think I see things. I think that is real, he said a little nervously.
I nodded. Everything I've told you is the truth.
Will you keep my secret?
Not that anyone will believe you if you tell them.
He was cool. We met a few times.
Then I just fucking accidentally killed him. That's the end of the episode. If you'd like to buy me a coffee, there's a link down in the description that says support the show. I would really appreciate it. I'm really tired and a flat white would do me good. Thanks to those that have already bought me them. Love you very much. Bye.